Now in 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 27 of 2 Kings 5. And we'll begin in verse 1. This is the word of God, and so you are to give your attention to it. Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master, and highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel." And the king of Aram said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me." It happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean." But Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, had the prophet told you to do something, some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When he returned to the man of God with all his company, he came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel, so please take a present from your servant now." But he said, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will take nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Naaman said, "If not, please let your servant at least be given 2 mules load of earth, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offering, nor will he sacrifice to other gods but to the Lord. In this matter, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the house of Ramon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Ramon, when I bow myself in the house of Ramon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter. He said to him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him some distance. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, "Behold, my master has spared this Naaman the Aramean by not receiving from his hands what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him." So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw one running after him, he came down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" He said, "All is well. My servant, my master has sent me, saying, 'Behold, just now 2 young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of clothes.'" Naaman said, "Be pleased to take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver and 2 bags with 2 changes of clothes and gave them to two of his servants, and they carried them before him. When he came to the hill, he took them from their hand and deposited them in the house, and he sent the men away, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" And he said, "Your servant went nowhere." And he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and to receive clothes and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female servants? Therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever." So he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. And that is the word of the Lord. There are sometimes when we think in our circumstances that God is sovereign, and rightly so. Sometimes we don't think that. And yet even in the events around the world, which seemingly have nothing to do with the church of Jesus Christ or God's kingdom, we sometimes doubt his sovereign hand is at work. And yet that is precisely what we see in our first four verses of chapter 5. Yahweh sovereign over everything and over everyone, even this supposed great man in Aram. For it was verse 1, the Lord who worked through a man to bring victory in war to the nation of Aram. And it was only because of the Lord's sovereignty that this man whom he used became great in the eyes of the king of Aram. And yet he was a leper, it says. And it was just as true then as it is today when Yahweh controls Syrian politics and foreign politics, foreign affairs. He's still the God of the church and the Lord of the world. We even see here not that he is sovereign over a foreign nation, but even in the little things, he's a sovereign over one man's life. He's sovereign over a little girl's life, verse 2. And she's used for the kingdom of Yahweh. And in contrast with verse 7, we see the little girl's faith is much stronger than the king of Israel, who is despairing. And yet the girl believes in the word of the Lord, that the word of the Lord is healing. She says, "Go to the prophet, he will be healed." As we move to verses 9 to 14, we see that God's ways are offensive. Elisha did not even give a personal greeting. He actually sent out his servant. He didn't even go personally to this Naaman, the great man who has great wealth, apparently, because he's been given this great wealth that we see described there. He sends his servant out to him to tell him what the word of the Lord is. And so, the way that Elisha treats this man is insulting to him. Because Elisha treats Naaman as a leper who needed to be healed. Naaman, the text shows, is upset about how he is treated as a leper instead of as a king, as a great warrior. But the truth is, he is a leper. He is unclean. The only thing that comes to him is the word of Yahweh. You may not be as high as you think you are compared to Yahweh, Lord of hosts, who speaks. And yet for Naaman, who thought he was very great, the Lord works. And five times in verses 15 to 19, he calls himself your servant before Elisha. That's quite a shift from verses 11 and 12 where he's really upset. He calls Elisha, he says to Elisha, "Your servant is before you, your servant, your servant." Naaman even confesses that there is only one God, and he is the God in Israel, not for the rest of the old earth, but in Israel. Yet Israel itself cannot confess that. The king of Israel can't confess that, because he worships Baal. While Naaman tries to bribe Elisha then, bribe Yahweh, in verse 15, Elisha refuses. Elisha's refusal is showing that God is a God of grace who can't be bought. Yahweh isn't looking for a handout. He rather is the one who gives gifts to others, to His people. So here's the Aramean pagan king confessing Yahweh as the true God. In the end of our passage, we see the servant then of Elisha, supposedly a godly man. We'd assume he's a godly man since he's a servant of Elisha. And he's upset with Elisha that he didn't take the gift from Naaman. Verse 20, we see Gehazi actually breaks the third commandment. He takes the Lord's name in vain. Verse 22, the servant of Elisha breaks the ninth commandment and lies, and then he covets and breaking the tenth commandment, which we see revealed through Elisha's word about him in verse 26. Yet even with all that, Gehazi's worst offense was distorting the truth about Yahweh, which would be a breaking of the third commandment. In a moment, Gehazi destroyed all that Elisha had tried to teach Naaman in verse 16 about God's grace. And this is why verse 27, the servant of Elisha's punishment was so severe. So be cautioned here, beloved, not to mess with God's grace. Don't skew God's grace in the minds of you. Communicate as you teach others, as you explain His grace and spread the gospel. Don't skew God's grace in the minds and hearts of others, but be honest about it. And we know that being honest about it as it is here, it is offensive and insulting. But don't skew it, for there is a warning here. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we do praise You for how You use the little things of the world, like a little girl, to confess that Your word is healing. And yet we don't even know who she is. We don't know her name. Now You are sovereign over not only Your own people, not only little children, but even over the nations of the world and even the individuals that make up the nations of the world, like Naaman. That You used him to win a battle for the nation of Aram. We thank You that You are God who is sovereign over all. That You're in control over all things. Your providence is wonderful. And Your decrees are great. And Father, we do praise You and thank You for what You have given to us. What You have provided for us and used to protect us in this world and the present evil age, as sufferings increase and persecutions increase, You continue to be with us as You promise. Father, we know that You, as we learn here, You're the God of grace. We cannot buy You. We cannot work good enough to satisfy You. Only Your Son, who is the perfect satisfaction, making the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Lord, see Him who loves You and keeps Your commandments. We ask that You would work by Your Spirit in us to produce the same, as we'll learn this evening in John's Gospel. To love You and keep Your commandments. And may it be that we not rebel against You and skew the message of the gospel of grace, the great favor that You show to us, not because of who we are or what we've done, but in spite of who we are and in spite of what we have done. So Father, we ask that You would be gracious to us. And not give us what we deserve. Much like You gave to Gehazi. And leprosy that even afflicted His descendants forever after Him. Lord, give us not these things. But continue to work in our hearts. purge the sin that remains, even that sin that we believe we are owed by the world because we are your servants. But we are not owed anything. What is owed is praise to you and glory to your name. And so may we give it. Enable us to do these things for your glory and for our good. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.